जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावनाचारी, यमुना तीरावनाचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 टेक्स्ट 25। एतत्ते विहितं क्षत्तर यन्मां त्वं परिपृष्टवान् प्रचेतसां नारदस्य संवादं हरिकीर्तनम्। एतत्ते विहितं क्षत्तर यन्मां त्वं परिपृष्टवान् प्रचेतसां नारदस्य संवादं हरिकीर्तनम्। एतत्ते विहितं क्षत्तर यन्मां त्वं परिप्रष्टवान् प्रचेतसां नारदस्य संवादं हरिकीर्तनम्। ladies, please. Etat, this, te, unto you, abhihitam, instructed, kshattaha, O Vidura, yath, whatever, mam, unto me, tvam, you, pariprashtavan, inquired, prachetasam, of the prachetas, naradasya, of Narada, Samvadam, conversation, Harikirtanam, describing the glories of the Lord. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Vidura, I have told you everything you wanted to know about the conversation between Narada and the Prachetas, the conversation describing the glories of the Lord. I have related this as far as possible. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the glories of the Lord and His devotees. Because the whole subject matter is the glorification of the Lord, naturally, the glorification of His devotees automatically follows. End of purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The word Vyasa means he who analyzes and he who breaks things down for our benefit. The opposite of the word Vyasa in Sanskrit is called Samasa. Samasa means to synthesize, to bring things and talk about things at a higher, bigger picture perspective. So before the advent of Vyasadeva, all of the Vedic literature was one body. And that's what was taught and carried from generation to generation. But Krishna appears as Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation, to make Shastra, scripture, accessible. Accessible according to Kali Yuga standards of capacities, which is minuscule. So he broke down the one large body of knowledge called Vedas into four Vedas. The Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva. Everything was called Atharva Veda at one time. And from those Vedas which contain the essential truths, he separated the philosophical aspects of them into 108 Upanishads. Then there are ways of performing ritualistic ceremonies to apply or to understand that knowledge, and he compiled them into what are called the Brahmanas and the Aranyakas, which are explanations of those mantras. And then certain aspects of philosophical knowledge he compiled them into what are called the Samhitas. Samhitas are like compositions. And to make sense out of all of these, so that philosophy in some abstract way, Kali Yuga people cannot get it, he compiled histories of great personalities who lived by those principles, who applied those principles. Also persons who did not, and the consequences that their lives saw in what are called the Itihasas and the Puranas. Itihasa means history. Purana means records of historical events. Very similar. Puranas are actually in story form. They're record of different events that happened throughout history. Because it's a lot easier to understand certain things from stories. It's easier to understand certain things from the lives of others. Right? Because we understand that in Kali Yuga we are operating with the lowest possible intelligence. Because the highest possible intelligence is to hear something and understand it. In Kali Yuga it is repeatedly experience and maybe get it after 1,000th time if one is really bright. This has to go happen again and again and again and again. So the Puranas in Kali Yuga, the Puranas are more effective and more important than what are called the Shruti Shastras. So all of the Vedas, etc., are put into a category called Shrutis, and all the compositions, histories, etc., are all put into a category called the Smritis. And our Acharyas have described that Smritis are more important than Shrutis in Kali Yuga. Although the Shrutis are the standard, Shruti cannot be changed. Smritis are different, at different times in history, different personalities have explained certain things. So after doing this massive work, and then he wrote the Mahabharata, the history of great India, Prabhupada says. Because it talks about generations way earlier than the Pandavas. Way, way earlier. How certain persons behaved, how one generation moved to the next generation, how there were deviations, and in those deviations what the consequences were. This person married that person got angry on this person was born, that situation, one after the other, till it comes down to the current time when he was writing the Mahabharata, which is when the Pandavas were there, Krishna had advented, etc. So after doing all of this, which is the work of about 6 million PhDs, if you will, that's just an underestimation. After doing that work, which is, and most people who do PhD become very tired by the end of it, and so they're happy that it's done. But after doing this, Vyasadeva felt extremely dissatisfied. That he had done something that is so fantastic for the entire humanity of Kali Yuga and beyond, but he was not satisfied. And he was not sure why he was not satisfied. He had an idea, but he was not satisfied. And that's the time when Narada Muni appears. And in a few words, I'm not going to get into the conversation there, but basically Narada told Vyasadeva, what you did is really didn't make it, didn't cut the mark. Because what you've done is in a very, very fancy manner encouraged people to become materialistic. You have, and he compared all of Vyasadeva's work with a garbage pile and said, that's like where the place where the crows go. And Vyasadeva didn't get upset. Huh? At least say nice words, Prabhu. Nothing like that. He said, oh. And he said, on the other hand, the swans go to a different place. Na niravanti ushikshayaha. It's like, oh, what is the place that the swans go to? He said, that place where Krishna is glorified. And you haven't glorified Krishna anywhere directly. That's what you've missed out on. Oh. So my dear, then he says, my dear Prabhu, now you please meditate on this carefully and write unabashedly about Lord Shri Krishna. So Vyasadeva meditated very deeply and had this full realization. It's called the complete maturity of his realizations and wisdom. And he compiled the Bhagavatam. Called it Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad means beautiful. Bhagavatam means about the Lord. And it doesn't take a PhD to figure out that the Bhagavatam is all about the devotees of Krishna. It's about how they've lived their lives in relation to Krishna and how Krishna becomes very obliged to them. Very, very quickly he reveals himself, he gives them instructions, he manifests in different avatars at different lives of the Manus. So we're ending fourth canto in this next verse, and he's going to begin discussion about Maharaj Priyavrata. So far we've been hearing about the generations coming after Maharaj Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj, etc. And I was going to pause the story here and say, now I'm going to talk about Uttanapada's brother, Priyavrata Maharaj. And the fifth canto is going to begin from there. And all of these are about the devotees of Krishna. So Srimad, it is beautiful because it is about Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So Prabhupada writes, Srimad Bhagavatam describes the glories of the Lord and His devotees. This is all that it is. And this is all life is meant for. There may be so many things that we do. They may manifest as this or that, this service, that service, this activity, that activity. All of that is fine and it should be there. But the purpose behind all of that must be clear. It must be for the unabashed glorification of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. If that feature, or that element is missing, we may perform any grandiose thing and will not feel satisfied. We may conquer the whole world as the king of this planet. That won't happen. But we may, theoretically speaking. Still we may not feel satisfied. If we are given the capacity like Vyasadeva, we may do something like that too. Still we will not be satisfied. Unless Krishna and Krishna's devotees are glorified. Meaning, the purpose, the very specific objective behind everything that we do is to glorify, is to bring the sense of attention to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Personally, we don't need the attention. In fact, we should not want the attention. And any attention that comes is passed on to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So the as devotees, what we are trying to accomplish, beginning from wherever we are, and we come to devotional service with so many qualifications. No, we don't. We come to devotional service with many disqualifications. In fact, our biggest disqualification is we think we have qualifications. I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that. I have this capacity, I have that capacity, I have this level of intelligence, I have that background, this. And all of that is not necessary in Krishna's service. Krishna is very kind that he allows us what's called dovetailing. He allows us to utilize them in his service. But frankly, not necessary. Because Krishna can empower anyone to do anything. The other night when we were watching the video, you were ever well wisher. I forget the professor's name, not Stilson Judah, the other one. And he said, when I first came to the temple a couple of times and I met Bhaktivedanta Swami's disciples, I was actually disappointed. Which is the common experience. Most people who meet disciples are generally disappointed. And I was disappointed because I did not know, it seemed like they were confused. On the one hand, they were all very serious about something. On the other hand, they didn't know what it's all about. So he said, I couldn't put two and two together. They're very serious, but they don't know what it's all about for. Until I met the man behind all of it, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he said, then I understood, here is a man that is actually making all of it happen. And he said, the interesting thing about him is that he never put himself in the center. He always told everyone, you should do this because Krishna would like you to. I should do this because Krishna would like me to. And he even made people do the most unimaginable out there things. Like he told someone, go start a magazine. And the closest the fellow had ever come to a magazine is to read it. That's it. He had no idea. This is Satsuru Maharaj. Go start a magazine, publish. I don't know. And then he asked Prabhupada, how will I know what to do? Krishna will help you. He instilled that faith in everyone that Krishna will help. And they did. They did fantastic things. Another time, brand new devotee. He was there in the temple for 3 months. Prabhupada looked at him and said, go to Toronto and start a temple. Huh? Yeah, find a place, start a temple. And they did. Even today, I've never visited, but I've heard it's in downtown Toronto and this beautiful location, big in terms of structure, big in terms of what they do and all that. It's there. Go do this, go do that, go start this, go start that. Huh? How, Prabhupada? Krishna will help you. Chant the holy name, Krishna will help you. Yeah, it was not all rosy, but they manifested. They manifested because the faith Prabhupada had instilled in their hearts. And one thing that they knew, if Prabhupada said it will happen, it will happen. In fact, when Prabhupada first came from New York to San Francisco, he came by, I think, Transworld Airline or some airline. So devotees were at the airport and they were talking amongst themselves. If Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna and pure devotees can travel anywhere in the world, why does he need to travel by plane? He can just manifest himself anywhere. Why should he travel by plane? That was their discussion. And they waited and waited and Prabhupada did not come out of the plane. So they didn't know what was going on. Everyone had walked down. It was not like the jet bridge. But they had to walk down the stairs onto the tarmac, walk into the lobby. Everyone came out except Srila Prabhupada and they're all having this massive kirtan. And Prabhupada did not show up. Suddenly, the description of the devotees is that the back entrance or exit of the plane seemed to glow. And Prabhupada walked out of that place. And these are persons who had never met Prabhupada. They only had heard about A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As soon as they saw Prabhupada, the first thing they did was offer obeisances. Now these are hippies. The whole idea of hippie means we don't care for authority. That's their nectar of devotion. The rules. We don't care for authority. We will not bow down to anyone. In fact, anyone who is over 25 is considered a grand old man. Prabhupada was 70. As soon as they saw Prabhupada, boom, on the floor. Who taught them? And there was no culture. We were talking of how it was important from the childhood, teach the child obeisances, the proper samskara. Never. Nothing like that. They had never met Prabhupada. They didn't know who a devotee was. No background, no training. In fact, opposite training. But they saw Prabhupada and boom, offered obeisances. And Mother Malati explains that as soon as she opened her eyes, Prabhupada's shoes were right in front of her eyes. He was standing right in front of her. And they had this experience. So, and from there, the whole Krishna consciousness, they call the Hare Krishna explosion, happened. So in the Bhagavatam, we are instructed by Vyasadev, by Suta Goswami, that every day, regularly, constantly, we are meant to serve the Bhagavatas. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And we have known that there are two Bhagavatas. One is the book Bhagavata, other is the person Bhagavata. This distinction of book and person applies only in the modern context. Because in the modern context, books are independent of persons. I'm using the word independent in a particular way. But in the Vedic context, the book and the person are not separate because nothing was written. It was all with the devotee. So when it says Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, it means serve the devotee. And it's not once a week Bhagavata Sevaya or once a year, but it says Nityam. Every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day, hear. Our hearing is our service. Every day, hear about the devotees. Every day, hear about Krishna and his devotees. Every day, glorify the devotees. In this case, it says Bhagavata. We generally have become accustomed to associating the word Bhagavata with a pure devotee. Generally that's proper too. In a broader context, Bhagavata by definition means connected to Bhagavan. Or related to Bhagavan. And that by that definition, every devotee is a Bhagavata. So serving every devotee versus yesterday we were discussing, we get into this analysis. Pure devotee or not pure devotee? Not that pure, maybe a little. Nowadays, depends. On Monday, very pure devotee. By Monday evening, whoa, phew. This is not okay. This is very, very impure. This is, what is this? By Monday morning, then Tuesday morning, I think they are pure. I should think that they are pure. By Tuesday afternoon, how much ever I think they're pure, I'm really, how can they be pure? Well, that was Jai Jagannath Prabhu's way of explaining it. I'm adding to it. But Bhagavata Sevaya, serving the devotees. Devotees come first. That culture we have to develop. That culture is what we, I guess, practice, we hear about, we see, we learn, we apply. That is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Then the heart, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. We are asked questions, we always wonder, when will I become fixed in devotional service? When will my anarthas go away? Same question. This Bhakti Naishtiki. Naishtiki means fixed, nishtha. This bhaktir bhavati naishtiki, the blessing is from nityam bhagavata sevaya. If every day, constantly, we are serving the devotees. That is the only way to go beyond the anarthas. That is the only way to cross the big, massive, deep, dark, smelly, stinky, dangerous ocean of anarthas. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. There's another word for it called Shushrushaya. Shushrushaya means humble service. Shushrushu Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevanath. Because only from such humble service do we become qualified to hear Krishna Katha. It's that set of verses that I'm talking about in first canto, second chapter. Otherwise one is not qualified to hear. Even if one hears, it doesn't enter. Even by mistake, the sound vibration enters, comes out of the air tunnel very quickly. So we should hear like this. Generally we hear like this. mostly it's like this. And the head goes down, because even if it were to go like this, we duck. That's why we say, class Prabhu went over my head. Yeah, because the head was very low. So the hearing is that it should enter the heart. And the passage, it's blocked. There is kachra, as they say. Kachra means dirt. The heart and the ear are connected by a very special channel. A channel that's opened by sound vibration. And that channel is blocked, or I should say it positively, opened by Shushrushaya, humble service. Somehow this is this mystical arrangement. That mystical arrangement is some humble service to Vaishnavas, and the channel opens. It's a two-way valve. Little discrepancy in our mentality toward Vaishnava, and the channel closes. So it's important to maintain that service attitude towards all devotees. And that begins where the heart starts to transform. Actually, Narada Muni, or the parampara, is invested by what's called transformational potency. Just by their words, they are invested by the potency that they can transform people's hearts. Transforming hearts means one who's heading in this direction towards sense gratification moves in the opposite direction of heading towards Krishna. That's called transformational potency. And different people are empowered with different capacities of transformation. Some people are empowered with such capacity that the more they speak, the faster people go towards sense gratification. Yes, it is true. It is true. Because sound vibration is very potent. There are many persons who, in the name of religion, speak in such a way that people head very fast towards sense gratification, because it now authorizes it. Like there used to be somebody that, when I was growing up, was popular. And he would say, "You can eat meat, but let meat not eat you. You can drink alcohol, but let alcohol not drink you." Yeah, what does that mean? Nothing. It just means go ahead and have sense gratification. And then they're wearing robes of a sannyasi, nice beard. And he authorizes it to do whatever. Because after all, how does it matter? I had a roommate in college who used to chant some mantra, something, I don't know what mantra it was. It was secret. But I know it was some Devi mantra. I don't know which Devi he was thinking about, Sri Devi or some Devi, but some Devi. But he would chant mantra and watch cricket at the same time. I mean, he used to watch other things, but I won't mention, but he would watch. I was not very religious, but I was at least, I told him, what is this? Why together? At least watch TV, you know, like I do, just watch TV, forget about mantras, or chant your mantras properly. He said, these two are not connected. One is spiritual, other is material. They don't mix. Like, what are you talking? What are you talking? They said, they don't connect. Because he heard from someone that that's all right. It doesn't matter whatever condition you are. Apavitra pavitrova, sarvavastangato piva. I mean, that is total speculation. But like that. So, some people are invested with that potency. The pure devotees are invested like Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, etc. They have the, by one mention, they can change the course of someone's life in a completely opposite direction. The other day we were talking of Jada Bharat. Maharaj Rahugana chastised him and all he said was one sentence back in return. Who are you chastising? If you're chastising this body is dead anyway. If you're chastising the soul is not touched by any of these things. So who are you chastising? And that changed Maharaj Rahugana's course of life completely. Just one statement back. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days non-stop. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say a word, didn't nod, didn't doze off, nothing, just sat like that. And he asked him, are you understanding anything? Oh, I understand everything very clearly, except your explanations are like a cloud that covers the sun. Otherwise, the sun is very clear. What do you mean? I'm Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Okay, he didn't say like, I'm Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I have many sannyas disciples also. And you're a young man. He said, yeah, your explanation is like the hazy cloud. Transform like that. Prakashananda Saraswati, 60,000 sannyasis, followers. One small conversation, all of them changed. So the Bhagavatam is full of such examples and pointers. So each of us, the more we align with the parampara, the more our words are empowered. So we fall somewhere in between sending people to sense gratification and transforming their lives. Rare that this side, but generally somewhere. Some change. Some people pay a little attention to us. Ah, very nice. Good. Very nice. Very nice speech. And 5 minutes later, they're doing the same thing. But for 5 minutes, there was some change. Maybe. On a good day, 5 minutes. But the more we align, the more the alignment here in this context is the more we are servant of the devotees, the more is our speech empowered. So when we interact with each other, when we interact with others, when we, whatever we do, our speech has a very particular potency to it. It makes things easier. It makes things work out better. If it's not, then somewhere deep down is that servant of the servant attitude needs an examination. It needs a little adjustment. Little or big, but it needs adjustment. And that's what we work on day in and day out. Service attitude towards the devotees. Then our life will become Srimad, as I say, beautiful. And Vidura is hearing this from Maitreya Muni. And by the mercy of Vyasadeva, we are hearing it from Vyasadeva, and we are hearing it from the parampara coming from Vyasadeva. So those are some thoughts to share this morning. Any comments, questions, Ashray Prabhu, Bhakta Lok, any on this side?
Hare Krishna.
So I would like to get that potency. So what does it mean to serve the devotees?
Well, everything that we can understand by the word serve. Serve with our body, serve with our mind, and serve with our words. So what does service mean? It's described. Service means for the benefit of others or that person particularly. And it can take a variety of forms, but it's the kaya, manasa, vacha, by the body, mind and words. So with our body, serving others for their benefit, without thinking for my benefit. Of course we will be benefited, but even if we think, oh, by this I will be benefited, that my heart will become clean, that's good. But the real definition of service is for the pleasure of, for the benefit of the person we are serving. So doing something with our body for them. With our mind, we offer prayers for their advancement, for their benefit. With our words, we appreciate them to others, etc. They're all constituting service.
How do you know if you are benefiting them or not?
Well, let's begin with our intention, and then more will get awakened. But at least we can begin with the intention that I genuinely want to benefit them. I genuinely want to serve them. Krishna is the correcting factor, but the intention is what is first we begin with. Bhakta Lok.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Could you please describe the change in consciousness that takes place, or the change in perception, I guess that kind of is what I'm wondering. For a person who is unable to hear due to lack of faith or something, to having, you know, some more openness.
Let me make sure I understood the question. You'd like to hear about what does it mean that there is change of heart or transformation for a person who is unable to hear?
Say I am having difficulty hearing from someone due to lack of faith or something. What would be the change in my consciousness going from being unable to hear from that person to, okay, maybe I can hear from this person after all, like that?
Hmm. Assuming we are aware of why we are unable to hear. Many times we're probably not aware, but assuming we are aware of why we're unable to hear, then according to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the adjustment that needs to be made is within our consciousness. Because we may have a picture of that person or persons, we may have a conception about that persons, we may have an experience or experiences about that person, that tells us, oh, I can't hear. So unless that is changed, we cannot hear. Yeah, I'm pausing to see reaction from you. Go ahead.
had something, but I maybe will hold on to it. Did you have more?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I guess I was thinking, what would be the cause, or maybe there's multiple, of feeling like I can't really hear from hardly anyone, or I maybe don't need to or don't want to?
Oh, that's a different problem. That's a even more serious thing. To give a scriptural answer, it is called operating on the platform of false ego. Generally, according to Queen Kunti, one cannot hear because of being maddened by pride. Whenever there is pride in the heart, we cannot hear from anyone. Even if we are wrong, we cannot hear. And there are things that make us proud. Janmaishwarya Shutashri. There's four categories of things. Either some pride in, I come from a fantastic family or whatever. Or Shruta, I know. That's the standard answer, I know. Or Shri, certain opulences, beauty. and she says, Edamana Madhav Puman, Madhav, this is madness. One becomes mad due to pride. So the extreme sense of madness is I can't hear from anyone. In fact, I don't need to. Everyone should hear from me. That's the madness. Prabhupada calls that mad. And someone said, Swamiji, actually, wouldn't you rather say that the man is stupid or something? And Prabhupada said, madness is the sum total of all stupidity. In the context that anyone who says that God does not exist is a mad person, Prabhupada said. So all we are hearing about is the existence of God and our tininess in presence of God, and therefore we should serve God. I don't want to hear anyone. I just cannot hear. Then we have some lesser degrees of that is, I can't hear from this person, that person, that person. I can hear from others. This person I cannot hear. Like that. But it's same degree. This is false egos. That false ego is somewhere, something is pinched. For different people, it's different things. You're raising your hand to ask a different question or add to it? Okay.
Because we do hear so much about the importance of discrimination and hearing, even in the community of devotees, that comes up as a prominent topic many times. So how does one balance this false prestige and therefore a tendency, I like this person but I don't like anyone else, and also the needing for discrimination, or also even the attraction to a particular type of katha, which may not be wrong.
Yeah.
So how do we balance these types of...
Okay. He comes every Saturday, so that's fine. A few verses ago, there was a term used for devotees, rasagya. And Prabhupada explained rasagya as one who knows to pick out essence. Another place, it's called hamsa. Hamsa is the swan that can separate milk from water. So what it means, at least to me what it means, is that the devotee, it doesn't matter what it is, who's saying it, if we become experts at picking out the essence of things, generally we get caught into the form of things. Who is saying it? If you say it, I will not hear it. If you say it, whatever you say, I will hear it. If you tell me, Prabhu, go to hell. Yes, Prabhu. And if someone else says, please go back to Godhead. I am not going to listen to you. Because I don't, you are the, I don't like. So the point is to extract a sense of things. Yesterday I had, after you were speaking, I had a new insight on the word discrimination. Generally, the pitfall in the development of our bhakti is, as we chant a little, or at least chant a little, study a little, some purification happens, then we become, we feel our sense of discrimination has awakened, because now we are able to see what the faults in others are. Correct, that's true. This is a phenomena that happens. Because now I know, this is right, this is wrong. And because I'm coming from a background of knowing what wrong looks like, I can distinguish, I can see. The real word of, the real meaning of discrimination is that in all of the bads, if I can pick the good, that's the real discrimination. That is the real awakening of discrimination. I mean, it's not like, I don't want to get into the class of what does it mean, good, bad. Don't question me on that today, because that's not what we're talking about. But so there may be an attraction for a particular type of katha, but that's all right. It doesn't mean that we're completely blocked to hearing anything else. That's not proper.
Spiritual masters of other sampradayas or within the same sampradaya will caution their followers not to hear from certain arenas,
right,
even though the katha will be pure, maybe pure, more or less purely expressed, but there's like some undercurrent of some type of agenda or something, and there might be concern that their followers may become bewildered or contaminated. Just like, for example,
Srila Prabhupada said.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, we are followers of Srila Prabhupada, we may not be encouraged to go here from like a Sri Vaishnava.
Or even from some other,
yeah,
within Gaudiya
Vaishnava tradition, because there may be an undercurrent of disrespect or lack of regard, or something that might tamper our faith subtly, and being immature, we're not able to exactly extract the, you know, we're not rustic, yeah, we're not on that platform. So it's kind of hard to balance this understanding, which I personally appreciate because it's not sectarian. At the same time, we may not be so advanced or really extract, we may become subtly contaminated.
Right. Maybe I should have said, I was not even thinking that far. I was just thinking amongst ourselves. I was very, I guess, locally focused in that sense. I was not thinking so global. I was not even thinking other sampradaya. I mean, I didn't even go that far. But it's good to discuss. I know, I got it. I got it. Yes, but that's a problem. The problem is, I can't say it in Telugu, there's a saying, my mother would always say it, and I'll say it, it won't mean anything to you. Shankhanlo poste gani tirthangadu. That means if you take water from a tap, a faucet, then someone will say, this is tap water. The same water you give it through a conch, they'll say, oh, macharanamrit. Because it came from a conch. Right? That means it's not the message necessarily, but who's saying it? Ah, then it makes a difference. But we're not at the same time, of course, we should not go to every devotee and say, can you give me some instruction? Can you give me some instruction? Can you? By the end of the day, there's so many instructions, we don't know what to do. That's the other extreme of things. I'm talking very specifically the mood of being a servant of the devotees. That's the... Vaibhav's hand was up before yours.
We had a different question.
Thank
it's
you.
Like for we were talking about serving a devotee. So my question was like sometimes we come in a situation like we have to do our regular sadhana, and then we have like we try to serve a devotee which will like affect that sadhana, then how can we distinguish what is
how like, can service to a Vaishnava affect sadhana?
Like suppose we need to help some devotee and then we have to chant our rounds, like, but then we think, okay, we'll chant later in the evening like that, so I can help him then.
Generally, devotees don't need help between 5:15 and 7. You get my point?
Yeah, but... but it's not only for chanting, like also we for reading, or like if you think like, okay, I'm going to read something and then we have to help something like that, then we have to distinguish, okay, what is like we have to do. Like,
if that same, now on this is, if that same devotee, every time you're holding a book, they need your help, something is wrong. Vaibhav Prabhu, are service to Vaishnavas. Honestly, even if you did that this is a Vaishnava and I should just serve that Vaishnava, the conclusions of the book will come. So it's not that it won't come. Our process is very mystical in that sense. But is why we are serving? What is the motivation in serving? Is this a Vaishnava we are serving? Or I don't want to be known as a person who says no for everything. Then that's not service. Or I also want to be known as the person who says yes every time. That is also not service. So Ashraya Prabhu asked, how do I know if I'm benefiting them? Look inside. Why am I doing it? And if we don't want to serve the Vaishnava, we'll open the book and it'll be written, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa. Oh, okay. We cannot escape or skirt around service to Vaishnavas. That's the very blood in the life, in the body of a devotee. In terms of day-to-day things, how we express it, that we need to look at. It requires a little maturity of, you know, what is this or that. You know, suppose we're chanting our japa and some devotee falls down, physically. They need medical emergency. Of course, our chanting and devotee falling down are not connected. By my chanting, they fell down. It came out the wrong way, you understand what I mean? Some medical emergency. We don't say, Hare Krishna, this is the time to die. But it's everyday japa time we are doing other things, and that's wrong. Then our service to Nama Prabhu is gone. So, you get the idea? I'm talking extreme side intentionally, but you get. Now, on a practical basis, it may not be service to the Vaishnava. It may be our own sadhana schedule that needs to be looked at. That was my first statement. That what happens is, suppose we don't get up early in the morning, which is the nice time to chant. Then we have our hand in our bead bag during the time when our opportunity to serve Vaishnavas is available. Then we are in this dilemma. And at that time, we neither chant nor we serve. Because when our hands in our bead bag, and we're chanting, we're thinking, I wish I can serve the devotees. I wish I can serve the devotees. I wish I can serve the devotees. Then we say, anyway, I'm not paying attention. Let me serve the Vaishnavas. Keep the bead bag, you serve them, and you're thinking, I have rounds to chant. That's the problem. If we wake up early, chant in the morning, then we're available. Okay, in those circumstances that it does happen like that, make a call. And whatever call you make, whether you chant your japa or you serve the Vaishnavas, be fully into that. And the benefit is that. You understand? If you want to chant japa, you can say, I'm sorry Prabhu, if you give me half an hour, 1 hour, I'll be happy to serve. Let me finish my rounds. The only time we don't say it is Sunday morning before cut up. This way or that way. But whatever you're doing, do it full, with full heart in it. Radharaman Prabhu has something to say. Himanshu has been waiting. What my mother said? Conch.
So, but it is important, isn't it? Because even for Mahamantra, Prabhupada says that it should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee and not correct. From non-devotees.
That is correct. The context of that saying is we sometimes only see the medium and not the message. Yes, it is true, we don't hear the Harinam from that. That was not the context of it. For example, if the mother-in-law says to the daughter-in-law, do like this, she will not like it. But if her own mother says, do like this, yes, she will follow. It's the same instruction in that context like that. We also have, if my spiritual master says, then I will do it. If Bhakta says, how does he know? Because one of the instructions Prabhupada quotes about Chanakya Pandit is that you should be able to take good instruction even from a chandala. It's not like we go looking out for a chandala. But if we're saying something so that's the extraction of the essence that, is there something in this for me? That's the context of it. Poor Himanshu has been slighted like the airline. Okay, ask your question.
This is in regards to how we're always told to hear the holy name when we're chanting. And you were very nicely explaining how when a pure devotee has this potency in the sound vibration that it clears away the dirt and the... So I was thinking, if I'm hearing myself chant, I'm probably reinforcing misconceptions. Right? Is that...
Or so what to do? Play Prabhupada's tape and just...
That could also be difficult because then I might not be chanting properly and I wouldn't... So I don't know, it seems like a...
It is not that by my chanting I'm reinforcing the conceptions. No. Because we are not thinking of I'm a pure devotee or I have to chant and awaken this... Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema... No. Each person is meant to align with the sound vibration of the holy name as coming in parampara. Because our process is an active process, it's not a passive process that the acharya chants and we all are carried. The acharya is chanting to give us the potency of the pure sound. And we practice to come to the pure stage. Because that pure sound is impressed in our heart at the time we hear it. We're given the holy name, the pure sound is given. And we are to access that pure sound by our own chanting. So we are not adding to our misconceptions. We're removing the misconceptions. Because we are chanting under the instructions of the acharyas. For example, it's like saying, in a more visual, the acharya tells us, clean the room like this. And they clean their room and show us. So what do we do with our room? If I say, I don't know what cleanliness is meant by, or I don't know what it means, so if I start cleaning the room, I might actually make the room even dirtier. So the answer is yes, our own chanting we can strengthen the misconceptions, possible, even theoretically speaking, it's possible. Then we refer to the acharyas, their room and my room. Is it clean or not clean? Is it similar or not similar? Is my realizations in line with their realizations? If not, then I check, is this clean? They'll say this is not clean, it's a little organized but not clean. Like that. So we have to check with, I'm speaking only in terms of analogy here, you get the idea? So as we are chanting, to know whether I'm strengthening my misconceptions is to speak. Speak our realization and we'll know. We'll know means we will know for the Acharya to tell us this is not right conception. Oh. Then we hear that new conception and we chant with that conception in mind, and then it becomes the new conception in the heart. Shrunvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Tirtha. Shrunvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Purna Shavana Kirtana Hridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Suhutsatam. That Krishna is also there. He is the friend who is removing that misconception when we are intending to be rid of them. And that comes from Shrunvatam. And the Acharya knows. I'll end with this last thing. First time we had invited our spiritual master to our home. We cleaned the house thoroughly. In fact, every surface. We had heard that he was very particular. So we cleaned everything except one thing. It was a picture of Govinda, Radha Govinda in New York. It was sitting on the computer. We had not cleaned the little glass of that picture. And the picture was about 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch. We opened the door, our spiritual master walked in. He left his shoes, walked straight to that picture of Govinda, took it and with his cloth then cleaned it and put it back. That was the first thing he did. I was like, wow, the whole house was clean, you know, clean with smell, perfect. He walked to that, cleaned it, put it back. Like that. So we knew, okay, everything is there, but something is not okay. There are other stories, but some other time I'll tell you. Those are very amazing stories. But anyway, it's 8:40. I know you don't mind eating into Ishta Goshti time, but I do. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So we'll meet downstairs, even if it is for a short 15-20 minutes.